The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
Joining me during this segment will be Hugh Hewitt coming up in just a bit. The election results, what it means to you and me, our life and our money, and he'll give us his view of how things will shake up in Washington post the election results. So stay tuned for that. I want to talk about the results of the midterm elections, how it's going to impact you and your money and your retirement accounts. We begin with the talk of a divided U.S. government and what that means right now, since that's the consequences of the election results. And it's welcomed by the markets. And in my view, a no blue wave election day result and what I'm calling a slim win by the Democrats to divide the government is viewed as positive for Trump's economic agenda. And it's good to have some slight division within government. So the markets tend to like a little bit more checks and balance system. And I believe because a lot of Trump's agenda that many thought would be taken away, specifically the pieces of his economic agenda, like taxes. There was a talk that if a blue wave took place, that they would repeal Trump's tax agenda. And there was some fear in the overall marketplace that the economy may have to face a blue wave and a Senate as well as a House that may have gone to the Democrats. And therefore, not just gridlock. When you get a balance of power that leads too far to one side, the markets can get a little uneasy with that, with uncertainty of where things are going to go. So if that would have happened, or even a stronger showing in the House, and Trump coming off of this election, not being able to get those that he stomped for elected, showing that politically he's got some weakness, that would have been catastrophic for the economic agenda that was put in place. When this election started, the midterms, and there was campaigning by Republicans, many of the Republicans were not warm and fuzzy about having Trump come and show up at their rallies. And towards the end, as some of those Republicans were fearful of losing their position or not winning their race, figured, what do I have to lose? And for many of them, Trump put him over the top. Call it what it is. There's no real number that you can put on that. That's the overtone. So giving up the House, but the Dems not winning as much as they thought they were going to win, keeping the Senate and looking at what happened across the country of those that used Trump to help them get elected in this midterm, that's the type of division that I believe the market is going to like, because it's almost certain now that Trump's economic agenda, his tax cuts, will not be taken away. If anything, the push to make them permanent before year end has the possibility. The other side is much of the regulation that has eased business is not going to be undone. The possibility of impeachment will not happen. The ability to shift the balance of power in the courts for the president will stay the same. So looking at the big picture, the midterm results of what it means to you and your money, historically shows that midterm elections act as a launching pad for stocks. The S&P 500 has been higher a year after every midterm election since World War II. It's been a perfect 18 for 18. It scares me a little bit, because statistically you say, how can something be that consistent? Over the past 50 years, the largest company stock indices have an average gain after the midterm elections of 16%. The Dow also tends to rally after midterm after the midterm election votes are tallied as well. And that smaller stock indicator has good percentage returns as well. So even though Republicans and President Trump's colleagues in the GOP lost the House, the divided government and Wall Street history shows it can lead to stronger returns. And that's mainly because legislation that has a lot of hampering regulation that gets in the way of economic growth and makes it harder for companies to make money never gets passed. So we're seeing strength. There'll be some surprises here that I'm sure the market will have to deal with. We'll be dealing now with if the market does show historical strength, are we too high of value now and where do we go? What we're going to be looking at very closely is what is going to happen with regards to the tariffs and our trading partners overseas. Because as markets were inflated prior to the market correction going into the midterms, the noise was we're overvalued. And many who help navigate investment strategies like we do, positioned money overseas where there was more value. The tariff policy hurt those investments. That diversification of diversifying outside of the U.S. has been weighing on investors who have positions there. So we'll be paying special close attention to that. Joining me now is Hugh Hewitt. Hugh, welcome to the show.
Steve, always great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Been a busy week for you. Here we come off of election week. I want to talk to you about the outcome with regards to a split between the House, the Senate. How do you view where things are going to go from here for President Trump and for conservatives?
Well, I think President Trump is genuinely thrilled. And I think most conservatives are relieved and somewhat buoyed, actually, by the results. 6 months ago, if you had told me, I'll stake you 3 or 4 or 5 seats in the Senate, and we lost Dean Heller, of course, and you have to give us the House to Nancy Pelosi by 30 votes. I do that deal immediately because the courts keep rolling along and a Supreme Court vacancy might come up that would never be filled. There wouldn't have been one more judicial confirmation, not one, under a Chuck Schumer Senate. Mm-hmm. And so I'd have taken that deal. I am certain that the Democrats will not be able to govern. Maybe they will deal with the president. I am alarmed by this. New York lost the state Senate to the Democrats. That means there's no check on redistricting in 2 years in New York State. So New York State is going to become like Massachusetts, all blue congressmen. Pennsylvania's got this crazy Supreme Court ruling, and that really hurt us on Tuesday night, us being Republicans. But I don't know that the president still can't win Pennsylvania in 2020. And I know for sure he's going to win Ohio. That's the untold story. Mike DeWine walked in. I mean, he walked in. It was hundreds of thousands of votes. Ohio is Trump country. So, and Florida is Trump country. And so if you start with Ohio and Florida in your map, as well as everyone else that you won, all he has to do is pick up Pennsylvania and he wins. It all comes down to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, and I tell you what, the showing of Cruz when he got down there and seeing the numbers shift, Texas looks as if it's, at least he had seemed to move the needle there a bit for Cruz.
Well, I think Ted Cruz is a terrifically smart guy and is a target with everyone on the left and the right because he is a terrifically smart guy. Beto O'Rourke raised more money than anyone has a right to raise based on a skateboard. It was the perfect storm for Ted Cruz, and he walked in with a 3% win. Greg Abbott walked in with a 15-point win. Donald Trump will win Texas with 15 points.
Let's talk about the younger socialists that have won office for the Democrats. It's interesting because you look at a lot of these lifers in the Democratic Party. Let's throw it out there, Nancy Pelosi, and that older generation with this bookend of younger generation who are maybe radicals to a certain extent. At what point does the Democratic Party, in your opinion, realize they might have an issue on their hands that this younger group might not want to go the way of some of the leadership, senior leadership of the Democrats?
Steve, don't tell them.
Sorry.
Keep electing these crazy socialists. Honestly, give them a cable channel 24/7. Have them on the show. I'll have them on all day long on my radio show because they are the best advertisement for a free market, pro-military, pro-constitutional party because they actually don't know anything. They appear not to have read a book in a couple of decades. And Nancy Pelosi, lover or hater, and I kind of admire her as an old Baltimore Paul who adopted San Francisco values, but she's a tough street fighter. The president said pretty much the same thing at the press conference this week. She doesn't want these people. She knows they can't, it doesn't work. I mean, you can talk a good game, but in the end, it doesn't work. And we just can't keep printing money this way.
Yeah. Impeachment, where do you think that the direction of impeachment goes with regards to the outcome of this election?
You know, I didn't think they'd be stupid enough, Steve, but Jerry Nadler, the new incoming chair of judiciary in the House, was on the Acela next to Molly Hemingway of the Federalist, who just took notes, and he was being loudmouthed and talking to people on the speakerphone and stuff like that. And they're going to move forward. They may even try and impeach Brett Kavanaugh. Now, if they want to destroy their party with that, by all means, go forward and destroy the party, because the American people want no part of that. Donald Trump is, he might be at 44% popularity, but he's got 54 votes locked down in the Senate. It takes 66 to impeach someone. It's 67. It isn't happening. Mm-hmm. So if they want to go forward and break their pick on that rock, by all means, let them go out and try impeachment.
One last question. What's the major legislation issues that'll have to be dealt with the Republicans and Trump that has to go through the House that might end up not working out the way they want it to?
Well, I think that the shutdown that is coming, and one will come, not this year, because we control the Congress through the end of the year. Next year, there will be a shutdown, and it will be a shutdown unlike any we have seen before, because Donald Trump will be running the executive branch. And the national parks aren't going to close. Every bureaucrat in the country is going to be on unemployment. They're not getting it back when it comes through, and it's going to be epic. I do think they need to work together on the military appropriation, and Pelosi, and they got good guys and gals on armed services on the Democratic side in the House. That's where the smart ones go. Appropriations the same for defense, so hopefully that won't be screwed up. But I think there's a deal to be done on the wall and DACA. I think that the Democrats have got to deliver for their base some sort of regularization of some portion of the people in the country without papers. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is to give Donald Trump a long, strong, very tall, double-sided fence with a road between it. So there's a deal to be done, Steve. I hope it gets done.
Great. We end with the military. As you said, it looks like on both sides of the aisle that there'll be some common ground there. Veterans Day. I mean, I know you're a big supporter. We just did an event together. We had a lot of military folks at the public event that you held here outside of Philadelphia. You're a big supporter. So to all those veterans out there, we're thinking of you. And Hugh, I know you're a big supporter as well.
I am, and we always spend Veterans Day talking with wounded warriors from the Semper Fi Fund from all branches that are taking care of the Semper Fi Fund. And the reason I do that is on Veterans Day, we're supposed to have a day off and people are enjoying it. A lot of people never get a day off from their wounds, right? They never get the limbs back. They never walk again. They can't see out of the eye they don't have, but they continue to serve. And it's up to us who are civilians to support them. I know you do, Steve. I do. And I thank everyone in our audiences who does.
Yep. And that younger generation up, we can't forget those folks who serve our country in the military. Seems like generations as they are coming up here in our country, we keep diluting down the value of those who have served in our military. So I'd like to see more honoring of those who have served our country. And in this particular case, we have a great day here, Veterans Day. And we'll be thinking of all of you who served our country as I do. Thank you. And I'm sure, Hugh, you're thankful as well. Thank you. That's Hugh Hewitt.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.